for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
A Sunday evening, December the 26th, 2004, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Tom Stone of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
Has anybody ever taught on the footstool? And he said no. And the Lord gave me the word footstool. And we're going to start out that way. But if the Holy Spirit takes us another path, we're going to go after the Holy Spirit because I love Him and I want to serve God. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You and I praise You, Father, Lord God. Just bring everything to perfect recall, Lord God, that You've given me to speak about Your footstool. Lord, that we need to be a submission, Father, unto You, that we could be a resting place. I thank You and I praise You and I glorify You tonight in Jesus' name. Let Your glory become in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, you could say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and He was sitting on His throne. That's where He's at. That's where He's at. And how many people has ever said, well, I'm not going to be a footstool for anybody? Have you ever said that? Or ever implying to say that? I've spoken out of my mouth. But it was interesting when I started to look at the Scriptures and how it fulfilled this. And we're going to start out in 1 Chronicles 28:2. And this is where David was wanting to start to build the tabernacle and a place for God. Chapter 28, verse 1, And David assembled all his princes of Israel and the princes of his tribe and the captains of captains that ministered unto the king by course, and the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and the possessions of the king, and of his sons, and of his officers, and of all the mighty men, and all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up on his feet, and said, Hear me, my brethren, I and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house for an ark, or for a covenant of the Lord, for a footstool of our God, and he made it ready for to build. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build the house for my name's, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. David wanted to build this house. And we want to build houses sometimes. But yet, we fall in this category of not being what we need to be. But yet, through Jesus Christ, we can be set free that we can do the work of God. Because I know that one time that I was lost and undone. Everyone in this room was lost and undone. But Jesus Christ made it available that we could come to Him boldly. And we need to daily. Because the more walk I walk today is the more that we got to pray through every day. Because there's so many things that are in the spirit realm that confuses things, that we need to break soul ties, evil soul ties, and word curses that's spoken about you every day. Because you don't even know who it might be. Because an enemy cannot come close to you and stab you in the back, but your friend can come and hug you or your loved one. And words are so powerful that the power of the tongue, the creative tongue. And so it's what's so important, that how you speak to your spouse, how you speak to your friends, how you speak to your boss, how you speak to your children, how you speak just in conversation to anyone. Because every idle word will be held in account. Our answers need to be yea nor nay, or in the expounding God's word. Not in argument, but in one accord. So, we want we see and we also want to be close to God. And David wanted to build a place for God to come and rest. And some 23 years later, let's go over to 2 Chronicles 9:18. And this is where his son, Solomon, takes over. Because Solomon, he came out from underneath a generational curse at that particular time. David was still under a curse. So here we have Solomon. He takes over and he starts to build his house. And it starts out in chapter 9, verse 18. And I'm going to go back to 17. And moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, of a living thing. He took it and he fashioned it. And he overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, which was or were fastened to the throne. And to stay on each end, and to stay on each side of it, sitting in the place, were 2 lions sitting by the side. Now these lions were protectors. This is against the throne. And the 12 lions were on either side of this walkway. It's just like going down this aisle right here. This walkway. And it says right here, and it says, verse 19, and the lion stood there on one side, and on the other side, the 6 steps. There was not like made in any kingdom. And they were special lions, and they were in short chains. But see, when you looked at the Lord, you need to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Just like Peter got out of the boat and was walking to Jesus Christ, what happened when he looked aside? And on this road are these lions. One lion could be called fear. Another lion could be called rejection or self-rejection. Another lion could be called inner anger. But we know in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. It talks about 6 things. And the 6 things he said, Proverbs 6:16, the 6 things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are abomination to him. A proud look. See, when you get on this road, you can't get past those lions with a proud look. A lying tongue. One of those lions are called lying with the tongue. Speaking evil, speaking lies. Another one of these lions, hands that shed innocent blood. And we can do this physically, or we can do this with our tongue. And any time somebody comes and speaks bad about you, and you take it in, take it to heart, it goes down into your belly. It goes down into your soul. And it starts killing the spirit within you. One of the young men, he says, I feel heavy. And we prayed with him, he felt light. And somebody spoke evilly about him. So it started crushing his spirit. It started spoiling him and wanting to take his spiritual life in him. A heart that is deceived and wicked indignation. Deceiving. The lion is called deceived. We got to get by these people. But the only way you get by them is focusing on the Lord thy God. Keep your mind straight ahead. Feet are swift to run to mischief. The next one is called mischief. And he's on a short chain. If you got in him, he's gonna lash out you. Just like Satan, he says, where have you been, Satan, over in Job? He says, going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. On this heavenly highway, and this is the walk that we're in today, we're on it right now if you're in the kingdom of Christ. You're walking. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling and working out as we walk through life itself. And we got these lions that we have to deal with. 19, a false witness that speaks lies. Here we have one word that's mentioned twice. Lying and lies. We got twins. We got 2 twin lions. One on one side and one on the other. That are on short chains. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. We've got to get past these lions that call these things. And these are the 6 things, the 6 steps. Let's go back to Second Chronicles chapter there 18, and there were six steps to the throne. So those could be the names of those six steps that you've got to go through. We know that we got furnitures in a tabernacle that we have to go through and work through. But here we have six steps, and we got a row of lines on both sides. And we have to keep our minds and our hearts and our spirits focused on Him. We could also call one of them rejection, self-rejection. Another one we could call shame, self-shame. You can just go on down and think about the names that could be called to these lions that's going to try to eat you up because they are in like sync or same familiar spirit. So we have this throne, it's high and lifted up, but yet we need to keep our minds and our hearts and continually pray through and to say, God, cleanse me, that I have no evil spot nor wrinkle within me as I come and approach the throne. But the unique thing about this thing was that footstool, and it was fashioned to the throne. And yet nobody wants to be a footstool. But have you ever sat on a stool for very long without a footstool? It cuts off the flow through the blood to your feet. There's no resting place for the feet of God. And God wants a resting place to put His feet. Just like on Palm Sunday, that story about the colt, the ass's colt, the two donkeys that God, Jesus Christ, rode into Israel on. A lot of preachers only preach one, but they were two. If you got time, go over there and read them. It says, loose them, bring them. They put their clothes on them, and He rode in on them. Them, plural, two. He said on the mother, which relates to the law. The colt was the grace of God, the resting place for His feet. So we need to become a resting place for God's feet, an extension. Just like the wand that the king carries, what do they call that? The scepter. The scepter is an extension of God's arm, the hand, the feet is an extension, the footstool is an extension of God's feet. So sometimes we need to become a footstool, a resting place. Does the peace of God abide in you? If it doesn't abide there, then you can't be that footstool. But it's overlaid with pure gold, a usable vessel, because everything in the temple was covered with oil and with gold and was a usable thing. And we need to be usable. We need to be attentive. And it was the closest thing, but it was not the throne itself, but as the sound vibrated out of the throne, it hit the footstool first. And greater things ye shall do, says Jesus Christ. But you've got to hear from God before you do that thing. So you've got to be a usable footstool. That spirit of peace has to abide upon you, that God can rest upon you. Let's go to Psalms 99:5. But this footstool is very important, because He says, the earth is my footstool, and the heavens is my footstool. And I might have that turned around. It may be the heavens is His footstool and the earth is His footstool, but the one and the same. But we need to realize that a footstool is not so bad if we do it in peace and let the peace of all understanding rest upon us. And the same token, we need the Word resting upon us to where we can minister the Word at any time, instant in season and out of season. But you cannot do that without the peace of God in you. And I pray that the peace of God abideth in all of you and you get set free this week. I know that there's already been some healings come about, but I want to see more healing. He says, the signs and wonders shall follow you that preach the gospel. And I want signs and wonders to follow all of you, because we need an army that has the power and the authority to say to Satan, no, get out of here right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you, I cast you out. And every one of us has the key. But we have to come to a place and a peace within our heart and receive that peace, it needs to come from our brains to our belly and rest there. And I mean, it needs to be able to flow out of us in any time, any place. 99.5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. A different, but yet also a reverent place of worship, that we can be at presence, His footstool that He can rest upon. And where does He abide? He abides in the worship of His people. When we're singing, He comes down. You cannot sing and be depressed. And I've said that many times from this pulpit, and I'll say it again and again and again, because it's the same word. You cannot be depressed and sing. But yet He wants all of us to be His worshipers, to be the singers. And He sends the singers into battle first. We get to throw the sucker punch. And it's to bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I command you to not rip, tear, nor snort, to come out, not to destroy, not to hurt that vessel that you're abiding in right now. I'm telling you, God is so precious. And I like that whole little Psalms there of 99. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back and read it, verse 1 and 99. And the Lord reigneth, let His people triumph, people tremble. He that setteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. And the Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let His praises of the great and terrible name, for He is holy. The king's strength also moves, or loveth judgment, for He doeth establish and equip iniquity, and He executeth judgment and the righteous in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship Him at His footstool. And Moses and Aaron and among His priests and Samuel and among them, and He called upon their name and called upon the Lord, and He answered them. I like Him to answer. Don't you like Him to answer you? You get in trouble, do you ever cry out to the Lord and say, "Help me, Lord"? If you don't, you need to start. You need to wake up. Wake up. The Lord is here. Yes, you're tired, but yes, He says, push back sleep. Push it back. I bind that spirit of slumber and slothfulness right now in the name of Jesus. I break the power and authority that's sin against this congregation right now. That you can hear the voice of the Lord. That you can hear His Spirit. What the Lord saith. Hear what the Lord saith. Not because who I am, but because who He is. And you've got to get through and pass these lions before you get to the throne. And those lions are in life. You've got to get through life to get to that throne. He that overcomes. He that overcomes and endures to the end will be that overcomer. And we need to be that overcomer. And He spake unto them in clouds of pillars, and He kept His testimony and the ordinance He gave them. See, we've got a testimony. We need to have a testimony. But we also need to keep the ordinance in love and in grace. There's some things that we need to do. Just because we're human, we think, well, I can do anything I want to. Have you ever said that? I could do it my way? I know a lot of people said it, I could do it my way. Oh, that was Presley. Wasn't it him that says, I do it my way? Oh, Frank Sinatra? Close enough. Both the same, you know. Both one and the same. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're both dead. Both pushing up daisies. And I'm afeard for where they're at. I don't want any of you to pass from life to death and be caught that way. Because we're supposed to have love and compassion for the people around about us. Psalms 110, number 1. Let's go to Psalms 110. Because here we go. He says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thine footstool. The earth is His footstool, the heavens is His footstool. And if we're his footstool, he's going to make another person his footstool where he could rest there. So we're going to be a bunch of little footstools in a furniture store. But yet, that presence of God needs to be there, that peace that can set and have a place of rest. And he goes into great lengths in several verses. Psalms 132:7. And the Lord says, and he said, and we will go into the tabernacle and we will worship at his footstool. But yet we need to be that place of peace that God can rest his feet upon. We need to have that peace in our hearts that somebody could, all we need to do or should be able to do is go hug somebody, and they should ought to be able to feel that sense and that presence of God, and just by that hug should be able to be delivered. I've seen it done right here several times. Somebody hugs somebody and never say a word to them, that they break and cry. And cry before the Lord. Because the peace was in the person that was ministering to the other person. See, if you got the peace in you, you don't have to worry about saying anything if the presence of God is in you. In times past, I walked in rooms that where people were drinking and cursing, and they all turned simultaneously and looked at me and shut up. And not a curse word, not a bottle was stirring, not nothing. Because something walked in there that they were not familiar with. It was a peace because I didn't have any fear. And it wasn't because of me, because who God is in you. And I want God to be in all of you in that fashion that you can walk into any situation and be the peacemaker. The peacemaker. Because we know, and you know, friends and people of acquaintance, that their world is turned upside down. And you may be in that position. That your world is turned upside down daily. Some of these children that we know today, their worlds are turned upside down daily. And they need somebody to reach out and to love them and hold them and pray for them. We need to be that resting place where that peace of God abides, the footstool. I'm going to read that verse again. We'll go into the tabernacle and we will worship at his footstool. And arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Thou art thy ark and thy strength. The ark and the strength are part of that peace, part of that resting place. By thy servant David has shaken and turned away from the face of thine anointing. In other words, we can't even look upon the face of God because of the anointing there and the peace. And because one of those lines could be called guilt. Not because you've done something, because you didn't do something. I should have been a better mother than I was. I should have been a better father than I was. Or I should have been a better son than I was. I should have been a better daughter than I was to my mother. So we need to get rid of that spirit of guilt that can abide and take us out of the presence of God and take us out of that peace and out of that resting place. Let's go to Isaiah 66:1. Old prophet Isaiah has a lot to say. A lot of good things. A lot of good things. Lots of good things. Thus saith the Lord of heavens, is my throne. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Where are we? Where is the church today? Are we running scared? Or do we know who we are in Christ? I want to know who I am in Christ. Because I run into a lot of hurting people. We had the fortunate we were shopping, my wife and myself, we were shopping at Home Depot. And we went in there and we were looking for cabinet material. I told this testimony to some young men already, but we run into the salesperson there and we asked him about Silestone, which is a very high dollar countertop. It costs $62 a foot. But that wasn't the reason why we were talking to him. And as we talked to him, he just started pouring out his heart all of a sudden. And as he poured out his heart, he was talking about all of his ailments, his losing his bowel, part of his bowel tract to disease, and losing other parts of his body, and he'd done this at an early age. And he kept on talking about what was going on with him. And all of a sudden, out of his mouth, he said, "My mother died the same way." He said, and talked about generational sins, "and I inherited something from my mother that nobody wants." But yet he was claiming it right then. And then the Lord gave me a couple words to say to him. He said, "How'd you know?" And I said, "Enough of that, let's pray." And as I prayed, he said, "Yes. Amen. Right on." And I kept praying. And I don't know what happened to that person today, but I know the Lord touched the man that morning. And what I'm saying is, you need to be instant in season and out of season, here or wherever you are. If you're the church, be the church. Don't preach to them, pray for them. You know, that's the reason why people don't want to come to church, because they don't want to be preached at. They don't, and you know, a preacher usually tells you what to do. He don't show you what to do, but he tells you what to do. And that's basically what our parents usually do. "Do this because I told you so." You know, and they don't show you how to do things, but yet they send you off into your oblivious over here, unaware and not knowing what you're supposed to do or how to do it. But we need to be in the presence of God to know what to do and when to do it. And you got to get past these lions. You got to get to that resting place. You need to become that resting place for the anointing of God to be there. It's powerful. For all these things that my hands have made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. He's talking about you. To have a abiding place, a resting place. And he said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So, in that statement right there, and this is the keys right here. And as we learn it, as we learn the precepts, the commandments, the statutes, they're not for say to beat you down, but to build you up. To bring you to a place that you know who you are in Jesus Christ. Then you could talk to the evil spirits and command them to leave. Just like Doc, he's been called the intercessor. But yet he understands the precepts. He understands the laws. He understands, but just not to do the law because it's a law. It's to do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be in His presence, to be in that place of peace. I know that my world was turned upside down for a long, long time. And we didn't choose this ministry, but we were thrust into it. And a lot of you have been thrust into it. I think everybody is thrust into it. It's not because we wanted it, it's because we need it. We need it. Every one of us need it. Because you wouldn't come here looking for it. And it's a lifestyle. And you just can't do it one day and say, "Well, I'm all delivered." I hear that sometimes and I want to run up and pull on their coattail. No, you ain't. Because you're not dead yet. And it's a lifestyle, you know. And we may be like an onion, one preacher said, and I use it a lot of times. He peels you one layer at a time. And if he peels you all at once, you're liable to raise a stink and go on. I mean, we need to let him peel us one step at a time, that we can become usable and be that footstool of peace that we can minister to other people. Lamentations 2. Old Lamentations. Old Jeremiah, he was a weeping prophet. And he had a lot of woe is me. But that woe said, pay attention. Pay attention. So I want to pay attention. Chapter 2, verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughters of Zion with a cloud of His anger and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and to remember not His footstools in the day of His anger. See, there's something that we need to think about right here. Because, see, that anger that we think we control, and we try to manipulate people, and we work in a spirit of witchcraft in anger. Well, I'm going to get mad. Remember when your mama said that? And the next thing she wanted to do, some people never got the pleasure of getting spanked, but I did. I mean, I had a lilac bush outside that liked to never live. It got pruned regular. And so, you know, I felt the wrath of mama, but I do not want to feel the wrath of God. It's final. It sticks. And we think we can handle this word. And we think we can handle the effects of anger. It's come to find out that deep anger, or double anger turned inward could be one of the causes of diabetes. Self-rejection added to it can cause a greater degree of diabetes. Deep rejection can open the doors to any one of the 39 diseases that are in the world. See, we open the doors by trying to pick up the things that belong to God and handle them, and they don't belong to us, and we open up for His judgment when He sits on the throne as we're trying to walk that path. And Brother Glenn said it's that highway of holiness. And it's a narrow way, by the way. It's almost as narrow as this aisle right here, and those lions are sitting right there. Like if I was to walk by Mike and just say that he was one of the lions, you know, he could break out and get just at any moment if I use that anger or fear or frustration or rejection or abandonment or any one of those keys. I mean, and that's the key to damnation if you use those things. Because what does it say? Love covers a multitude of sins. And so we need to love people into the kingdom of heaven. You can't beat them over the head. You can't bribe them. Because there's a lot of ministries out there today. Blessed be, you put in $100 and you get $10,000 back. Does it work? What's wrong with that? We haven't gone through the process. We haven't gone. Because we don't seek Jesus Christ, Him high and lifted up. Seek Him first, and all things shall be added unto you. We want to seek it the easy way. Drop a pill in the plate and receive. But it don't work that way. And a lot of times when you get past that, you don't receive money either, but you receive blessing. This is how the camp runs. There's over $8,000 goes out a month, just usually in utilities around this place. So there has to be some finances come in. So we got to do it God's way. And a lot of times we just pray, and I know God prays, and I mean, prays for us, because He says, I pray for you. And if we pray back to Him, with Glenn, and I know Patty and Kevin, and Brother Doc, and Ronnie, and Bruce, and all the rest of them that come in and out of here, and they pray for the camp, that's how the finances are met. But yet, we got to seek Him first. And then those things are added. And Satan, he likes to pull our chains in our lives, in our businesses, in our friends, and our marriages. There's not a person in here that is married that Satan hadn't tried to jump up there and destroy your marriage. Because marriage was consummated, was brought forth by God. That's what all His Word is built upon and starts out on, is the relationship. And we got to build a relationship with Him. He knows us, but do you know Him? He knows what you're going to do the next moment. But He don't take you like a... Not like... You've seen these little dogs that you push on a stick, you know? He don't treat you like a little dog on a stick, and you can make it go this way and make it go that way. No, you're free. But yet, He wants a mindset between you and Him. If He says, come here and get in my lap, you come and get in His lap. But if He says, hey, you just had a wreck and it tore up your car and somebody tries to kill you with that car, go pray for them. And you say, God, he just tried to kill me. And then all of a sudden He says, so, go pray for him. And that's what you're supposed to do. Because love and obedience, and you know who He is, and you know who the final say has, who's got the final say. He know, and you should know who's going to heal you. Because the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But He says, if you repent, turn from your wicked ways, then I will heal you and your land. And that's where the transformation movies come from, down in Brazil and in the third world countries. That's what happened. They turned. They made Jesus Christ their all in all. They found out what a footstool was. They found out what the peace of God was. And they allowed the peace of God to come in. And they used to grow carrots like that right there. And after the peace of God came in, their fields produced carrots as big as your arm. Instead of going once a week, they were going every day to the market. What happened? Their finances were turned around. Their jails was emptied. They were turned into churches. Their bars were emptied. Their mayors become Christians. Their sheriffs didn't have a job. They didn't have nobody to arrest. If they did have somebody who was a passer through that got in trouble, they had to hold them three counties over before they could find a jail. God can move, folks. But we need to realize what His throne is all about. We need to learn what that heavenly highway is all about. We need to find out what holiness is. We need to find out about His laws, His precepts, and His statutes. And yes, He hears you right now. And some people are saying, but you don't know what I live in. You don't know what I live in. Yes, He does. You don't know what my stepfather done to me. Yes, He does. You don't know what my stepmother said to me. Yes, He does. You don't know what my boss said to me. Yes, He does. Well, what He wants is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? Are you going to continue to forgive? Are you going to try to pick up that wrath and the anger that God talked about in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1? Or be caught in that day, the day of His anger? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God. Because He has a love so much that He came, He lived, He ministered, He taught, He allowed them to come and take Him. He allowed them to take Him before the courts. He allowed them to sleep, to slap Him and beat Him to where He was unrecognizable. And He allowed them to hang Him on the cross. And He allowed them to think they had won. But yet, they lost the battle that day. They didn't know what they'd done. Because the peace flowed from Him that day. For our healing. Every stripe He took is for our healing. For our sorrows and our griefs. Let's go to Matthew 5:35. And Jesus Christ is the answer all in all. Yes, but we need to realize what a footstool is. We need to become a footstool for Jesus Christ that we can carry. We need to become that beast of burden that carried Him. We need to be able to carry the word to the person at that proper time. 5:35, it says, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool. neither Jerusalem, for it is city of the great king. A footstool, Jerusalem. Israel, Zion, all of us should become his footstool, a resting place. A resting place. 22:44, Matthew. And the Lord said unto them, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Even your enemies, he's wanting to join to that peace. He wants your enemies to come to peace. It's nice when they come to peace to you with you in the night. Really nice, really nice. And if they're still in their positions and if they're still in their in this earth or on this earth alive. Because there's some places that you come to that's very, very protected. And the Lord says, touch not thy anointing and do thy prophets no harm. People don't realize. They don't realize what those words mean until you see it with your own eyes and feel it. And then it breaks your heart because sometimes there are families that's caught unaware without loved ones to take care of them that they cannot love anymore. And it's a place. But I'm telling you what, he's going to make this place a footstool, whether people want to be or not. His peace is going to abide upon earth one day, and very shortly. We don't know where we're really at in this timetable. A lot of people like to dive into Revelations and say, we're in chapter 17, 18, 19, 20. But I'm telling you what, we're close. And the other thing about it is, nobody guarantees you tomorrow. With icy roads, how many come in and slipping and sliding on ice? How many cars did you see in ditches? How many planes were canceled? You don't know. You don't know. So it's time to be prayed up, stayed up, and time to bind and to loosen all these situations that might be in our lives. But yet, God's got a ministry, and even the churches shun us and say, don't have anything to do with Lake Hamilton, or don't have anything to do with anybody that has anything to do with Lake Hamilton. Don't talk about this, don't talk about that. But yet it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Half his ministry was casting out devils. But guess what? When the devils leave, the healing comes. There's something strange about that. How many people get sick? I do, every once in a while. But you know what happens? I start asking God, who did I offend? Who did I hurt? Lord, forgive me. And I've even gone to him and said, I'm going to use Mike as an example. He was an employee of mine, and he hung a door backwards. And I come in there, and all of a sudden, how many have seen this? The eyes roll, the nostrils flare, and all of a sudden my back goes to killing me. Oh, man. I step outside, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to me, go back and apologize for getting mad at Mike. And I walk up to Mike. Mike, would you forgive me for getting mad? And all of a sudden, this particular man, he says, I didn't even know you were mad. I didn't even know you come in the room. But when I apologized, bang, my back was healed, just like that. Quick repentance. Quick repentance. But yet I did self-deliverance because I cast out a spirit of anger. I choked it. I did not feed it. And see, that's a lot of times that we can operate in self-deliverance. All these thoughts and ideas that bombard your mind, if you do not feed them, they cannot grow. But if you feed them, they will grow and overtake you. Make sense? So what are we going to do the next time an evil thought comes to our mind? Starve it. Do not entertain it. Do not feed it. Some people like, well, do you know what she said to me? Well, she said you didn't look good. Your shirt tail was out. But you know what she said over here? And you just feed it. But you know what she did yesterday? But do you know what she did over here? But do you know what she did over there? You're feeding it. Immediately as you're lifting those people, continue lifting up, Jane. You're feeding that thing. Starve it to death. Don't talk about it. Renew your mind in Jesus Christ and study the problem. And he says, a lot of times we renew our mind and our problems by situations. And every time you bring up your situation, you're renewing that situation. You're renewing the ground for it to stay. You're feeding the vine that grows upon it. And pretty soon you're going to have a dead limb. And it's going to be cut off and bundled up and hauled off first and thrown into the fire. We need to come to that place of rest, that footstool, that the Word of God could set upon us and we could be covered with God's feet, His umbrella, every bit of His presence be sitting upon us. And yet we need to be strong enough in Him to do His work. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But yet a lot of times we take the burdens and we carry them around like baggage. And then we get diagnosed as fibromyalgia. The pain across the shoulders. Being unloved and carrying burdens. If you lay them down at the cross and not really pick them back up, you won't be diagnosed of fibromyalgia. A lot of us older parents, we might be carrying our children around when we should be saying, God, in the name of Jesus, I break all evil soul ties with my own child in the name of Jesus. They're good soul ties. That don't mean you break communication with them. That don't mean that. It's where you agree with them in the wrong theology. That forms a bad soul tie. And when you fall out of agreement with them and you break that evil soul tie, and God, here He is, and really say that and really mean it, God, here's my son, and turn around and walk off. Sometimes that's tough love. Sometimes they can't pay his rent. Sometimes he can't pay his utilities. Sometimes he can't pay his car notes. Sometimes he can't pay his groceries. You feed him, but you don't give him money. Grow up, kid. That's tough love. Sometimes we need to do that. And when they grow up and they come back, all of a sudden, man, thank you, Dad. You taught me something. Because they can look back and they say, well, look at what I did. And they don't realize if you hadn't said that, they wouldn't have done that. So it's God. And God sometimes does that to us when we're out of sync with Him, when we don't have that peace of God. Sometimes He'll get you out on a limb and leave you for a while. How many times have you gone around Mount Sinai with one particular person? If you don't get it right, guess what? You being being moved, but there'll be another person just like that person come into your life and you'll go around Mount Sinai again. One more time. Israel went 40 years. I don't know if I got 40 years left. Lord God, get me off this round robin. You know, deliver me. We need to come to that place of peace where God can rest His feet. And His anointing. See, a lot of times we want the anointing, but do we pay the price? And, you know, Christianity is easy. All you have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes easy. But the anointing costs you everything. Because I'm telling you what, the rubber meets the road. And a lot of people don't like those tires being peeled out on your head or your pocketbooks or whatever. It gets hot. And he takes you through a baptism of fire. And it gets hot where you're at. Is anybody getting anything out of this stuff? Now, when somebody says to you, well, all you are a footstool, I hope it makes a different meaning the next time that saying is spoke about you, because the peace of God is there. I got a bunch more scriptures. I mean, how much time we've got? I don't know if these people can keep their eyeballs open that long, because I see a lot of people closing their eyes. We've had a... Yeah. Go after the spirit of pride. Huh? Yeah. But that is a manifestation of pride. People going to sleep. Acts 7:49. Let's go there. And basically, all these scriptures that I've got pertain to heaven is my footstool and the earth is my footstool. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house do you build me? Now he's talking to you. And know you not, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So which house are you? Have you thought about it that way? What house are you? Saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Do you have the peace that rests where God can rest His feet? I pray that you do tonight. And the Lord says, who shall ever call upon the Lord shall be delivered. And I want you to call upon the Lord this week, this night, all night long, all day long tomorrow. Participate. Learn as much as you can learn. Put as much scripture into you as you can get. Turn where you need to turn. And stop where you have been going. Turn and go to God. Yes, and a lot of times you say, well, that don't work. But are you in control? Or think you are in control? You need to stop even trying to take control there. Let God have control. And even the ministers that minister to you, and you say, well, I need to be delivered from this. Or, this is my problem. But all of a sudden, God wants to deal with something else. And it's strange. When God does it, He does it right. And it will stick. And I thank God for delivering. And the lesson tonight was the footstool of God. And I hope we all become that footstool in Jesus' name. And that's what I've got for you tonight. And if anybody needs special prayer, my wife and myself, a lot of time, most of the time, I mean, sometimes, not unless she's in a woman's meeting or I'm in a men's meeting, we usually minister together. So if you need special ministry, we're here available.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.